So halacha perek gimel. So here we continue with figs and when you can eat them without first being mafresh them. So first we start with a case of figs that were brought into the chatzer. Hamavir te'enim bechatzer oliktot. So if you're carrying the figs through your courtyard, but not planning on staying in the courtyard, you're going somewhere else to dry them. Banavu b'nei beito ochlenu pturin. So his wife and children can eat them and they remain patur. Because even though we said, or again, bringing it into the house, Riya Pnei Abayit, is d'oraita. But Chatzer, we already said, is d'rabbana. And as such, we saw that the Tana of our Mishnah, not everybody agrees, but the Tana of our Mishnah, we'll see other sheets on the Tanaim, and they're also in the parallels again, Beitza, think that the you're not koveya lemaiser in a chatzer without gmar malacha, right? So therefore, since it's not nigmar, because well, obviously it's not nigmar. That was the whole point, is that you haven't finished processing it. So your wife and child can eat it. Now, the slight problem you might ask is, but wait a second. Of all things, you would say maybe you should be able to eat it because you know that it's going to be brought to be dried, right? But from your wife and kids' perspective, you're bringing in your fresh fruit into your chatzah. They're not eating it as dried. Clearly, they want to eat it as such. So shouldn't that be considered gemar malacha? And the answer is that we saw earlier, no. Processing goes by the entire thing. Because otherwise, you would say, every time I'm eating it, it's gemar malacha. But no, but that was the whole point, is that it goes by the crop. And that was the whole discussion there. Now, there are other explanations as to why this is the case. Now, as we're going to see, right, the Bar Tzinura and the Rosh are going to say that the reason this is not true of the Bala Bayit is because the Bala Bayit himself were worried that he's going to trick you, right? Or he's going to pretend that he thought he was going to dry it, and then he'll say, "Oh, you know what? I don't want to dry it. I want to eat it fresh." So we can't allow him to do it. We can allow others. However, Tosfot in Beitza says that no, right? Is that the owner? It's considered Nimlach. It's considered a reconsideration. Like if the person who's actually processing it is right, if he does it, so then we don't view it as he's eating it temporary. This isn't harama, right? It's not that we're worried that he's tricking you, it's that we consider it that he's changing his mind. Right, so Tosafot just says in one line, Peir Yerushalmi dafka banav, as we're gonna see. Aval ihu gufei akba'inu. Because by he's changing his mind by eating it here, he's now by changing its status. The Gra has a different version of this, and he says, "Bedavar." One second. Right, so what we're gonna see is that he says that no, you might change your mind in the future, so we'll see what this means. Now the Marafolda, we'll see when we get to, well, hold off, but when we get to it, you'll see Marafolda's yet a different shot in this whole sugya. But we really should hold that till we see it in the Gemara, okay? Va'Paul and Imo and the workers with you, they can also eat there, right? Because like your family, they're residents of it. Bisman she ain't allowed mizona, but this is only if you don't owe them food. Because if you're not contractually bound to give them food, So then you can give them because it's a snack. If you are, so then it's like purchasing it, and then they would not.
So we'll see what brewery is.
Okay. Now, obviously, we must be talking about a case in which they're not allowed to eat from the produce, right? We spent the last several daf talking about the rights of workers. Here, we're talking about, you know, a case that's not like that. Mar Fulda says, for example, you hired them for a different job, right? And therefore, that's why it matters. The other possibility is, as the Pnei Moshe notes, is lo lejanad makom shosnek siyot dim kenay ochem natar shere zebetalushu v'kaimel and the bol ochem natar bim mechubar lakarka b'shat gmar malacha uvetalush min akarka ad shlo nigmar malacha. So the alternative is, this is going according to position, that when it comes to talush, the worker can only eat until gmar malacha. Okay, and since these are potentially gmar malacha, right, they are, right, so they're not allowed to eat it because you hired them for something else, right? Now, right again, he agrees with the Mara Fulda that you hired him for a different job, but the reason he has to say that is because he thinks that otherwise you would have no right to eat these. Also because it's... No, sorry. Sorry, the Pnei Moshe holds that things that are talush, there is no requirement that it be at the final stage, right? And that's why, right, the only reason that they're not chayiv is because you didn't hire them for this. Okay, but if you owe him food, so then you can't eat. Right, because again, this is a purchase. Now you'll say, is this only Rabbi Meir or even Rabbi Yehuda? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that mekach is not koveya if it's not processed? So he says no, because even Rabbi Yehuda, because even Rabbi Yehuda would say in this case you're chayav. Why? Because the worker is planning on eating it now, which means from his perspective it is processed. Right, and therefore even with him, now why is this different than the wife and, you know, the child? The reason is as follows: because as we said, you go by the crop as in its totality. However, the Mikdash Dov and the Chazon Ish say that's only by members of your household, because their eating is part of your crop. But once you sell it, so then that becomes an independent unit, right? Because now it's in a different legal framework, right? It's in his framework, right? Your kids, your family, they relate to your harvest. The workers don't, and therefore the fact that the worker is eating it shows that it's Gmar Malacha for him, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda would agree and say that you are chayev. Now, it's also worth noting that here the Gemara doesn't make a distinction with the Yehuda between one or two figs at a time. And it implies that you're chayev even if you have one. So many mefarshim just say yes, because here you have it was brought in the chatzer and you bought it, and therefore he will think that even with a single fig, you will be chayev. The p'tur of one fig is only when you don't have multiple factors working against you to be koveya. Now, this all assumes that this is mecher, right? That's what's going on here. However, the Rambam has a different explanation. He says that they are not usher to eat it. The issue here is not that they're not allowed to eat it, is that the employer is not allowed to give it to them because you're not allowed to pay off your debts with tevel. And therefore, these may simply be two different sugyot, right? Right, meaning There's the question of whether it's, there's the first question, which is this Tevel, right? And is it considered Koveya? And there, from the eater's perspective, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that he's not Chayev until he has two at a time. But from your perspective, you owe him money, right? And if you owe him money, well, then you can't pay him with, right? If giving him food is part of it, right? So he says, because you, the balabayit, are not allowed to pay off your debt. Yeah, because if part of your wages with him is that you said you were going to provide meals, right? You know, like all the people in high tech in Tel Aviv, that part of their job is they get like a certain amount of money on Walt, right? So that's part of their salary. So you're paying them, right? Now, according to him, presumably he thinks the workers themselves aren't chayef because they got it and it wasn't processed, and they don't hold that mecher is. Right, is enough. Now, the Marafulda says this. Oh, sorry, the Pnei Moshe says this. Harei lo yochlo lav mitam de mecha chavei. He says, not because of sale. Daleta, sure, ina mecha kovei, but davar somgur lachto, krab Yehuda, del chata kavate. Ala ocha taim achrin, because there's a different reason. Mishnum de hachov, ala balabayit, lita en lamizona. Because the balabayit has an obligation to give them food. Uchen, kshenotin lahem, right, the reason it's us is because you're paying off your debt from Tevel. The Kaimalon, they ain't part of Minat Tevel, and we said you can't do that. Mishum Dehavik Mechira. That's like a Vasalim Karta Tevel. Kedit Nan Leel. Parakei Didmai. It's according to him. Again, it might be that it's. Right, it's not really about the problem of them eating Tevel, is about you doing business with it. Yeah. Yeah, what were you saying?
Just to clarify, this is an idea that there was a custom for an employer to feed the employees outside of the food that they would eat while working the field.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct. Now, the Rosh Tevelio, his first shot is what we saw before, right? Was the, buying it plus bringing it to a chatzer makes you chayiv even if you only have one. But he quotes a second position from the Rosh that the very act of buying it is considered gmar malacha, because when he buys it as such, right, that shows he's being gomer, right, and that might supersede even the requirement of one and two. But he rejects this, right? He doesn't like that that pshat. Right. Another possibility, he says, is that maybe because he chose to give it to them as part of their salary, that is gmar malacha, right? And therefore, it's more chamor, right? So again, there's all types of possibilities here. Fine. Hamotzi. Oh god, it's very dense. Daf. Hamotzi pa'ala lasada. If you take your workers to the field, again, we're talking about some sort of job where they wouldn't be eating, like they're hired to hoe under the fig tree or something like that. So they're in the field, but they're not actually working with the produce. Bizman she'ein alem alav mizon, but he doesn't owe them food. Ochlan upturin, they can still eat and be pater. Why? Because remember we said he's only chayiv if they come into the house. Right? But not here. Why not? For all the reasons that we saw before. Because even if they're... There is gmar malacha, you're allowed to leave the marai until you bring it into a courtyard, and here you're not. Right? Or, right, again, or it's not gmar malacha, or it's, fine. Right? All types of, right, we can plug in the previous interpretations. Aval im yesh lalena mazona, but he does owe them food. Ochan achal aracham v'nateina, they can only eat one at a time. And again, now we go back to Yehuda, where Mekach is Koved more than one at a time. Or, according to Rabbi Meir, he'll agree here. Why? Because he does agree that is not Chayiv in the Mecher until they're combined. In the Mishnah above, where the buyer paid for one Isar of many, he considered it to be combined. But here, even though the buyer received and ate them one at a time, they were combined because of these. Or in our case, right, they're not, right? Unless you have them in your hounds at the same time. Right. Also, we had said there, the Remeir allows a buyer to pick them one at a time. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. Now, these may not be a total buyer, but okay. Aval lo min asal, but they can't take from the basket. Velo min hakupa, from a box. Velo min hamukta, right? Mukta is the place where you would take a put a pile of figs, right? The actual classic case of mukta is this, right? Is figs or raisins that you put aside to dry for Shabbat. And that's mukta according to, yeah, that's like super mukta. Now again, the Rambam, as before, doesn't focus the Isser on the person eating it, but on you giving it to them. And it's coming up with quite a kula, that the boss can be yotze his chiyuv of paying them, which is business, as long as they take it one by one, which means that even because this whole chiyuv is derabanan, we're making on these very, very specific circumstances. And we allow you to pay off like a small debt, but not a big one. If you hire someone to work with olives, and you said to him, I'm hiring you on condition that you can eat olives, you can eat one at a time, because he's contractually bound. To weed onions. And you say that I will eat on the condition I can eat the green leaves of the onion. So the point is, he can eat one leaf at a time. But if he combines them, then he's chayev. He has the whole stalk. He's chayev.
Just to clarify, this has sort of been implicit throughout, but what does one at a time really mean?
One at a time.
Does it just mean there's only one unit in your mouth at a time, or does it mean... Or does there have to be a certain amount of time between
no.
my say?
No, it doesn't have to be any time.
It's just there can only be one.
Correct. Hamavir Tainim. So if you carry the figs to the courtyard, so again, we said the children and the other people in the family can eat the figs and are potter. So who Atsumashi Yochal? So as we already talked about in the Mishnah, what about himself? Rav Amar Hu Asr Lochal. He can't. And Ula Rabbi Shmuel Bar Elazar Hu Mutar Lochal. But Rabbi Shmuel says he's allowed to. Rav Kiri Meir. Rav holds like Rabbi Meir. So Rav Kiri Meir, is it true that Rav holds like Rabbi Meir? In Kiri Meir, if he was holding like Rabbi Meir, right, and this is going back on his position before, that buying something creates a chivin for unprocessed, afil banav v'nei beito yasurin, they should be asur. So we can't just be the machloket of whether or not you can eat it, whether or not a chatzir is koveh when it's not processed, because then the kids shouldn't be allowed to have it. So Ella, Rav Kiri Meir, you're right, it's nothing else. Rav is like, Rebbe Lozer Krabana. Damar Rishim 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 and Levi, Rabbi Yossi Ben Shol B'Shem Rebbe, Ein Ochlen Ala Mokta. You can't eat figs because they're in the drying area. El Mokomo, only in the drying area. Meaning, right, he holds that just because you are planning on drying it later doesn't mean that the ones you're not drying are not considered finished. So you can only have them in the drying area. That's Rebbe. Devei Chachamim, but the Chachamim say Rebbe Yaakov Bar Idi B'Shem Yishuv and Levi Ochan Ala Mokta Ben Al Mokomo Ben Al Shalom Mokomo. That if you're planning on bringing it to dry, that shows that you haven't had Gmar Malach for anything, and therefore you can eat it anywhere. Right. So therefore, our Mishnah is talking about can you eat it not in the drying area, but because you're going to dry it. Right. So Rav says the owner can't, is following the position of Rebbe, who's Machmir, and Rilazar, who allows him to eat, is following the position that is Mekil. So Motiv Riozi Ben Shalom Rebbe, but wait a second, Vatan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah that a Charuv by Karabs Achilo Kinson Rosh Hagag, that until you brought them to the top of the roof at the end of the drawing, he can take some and feed it to his animal. Right? So again, Karabs were the same thing. They're not considered processed until they're dried. So if you spread it on the roof but you haven't yet dried them, which would be the Gmar Malacha, there's, you can still feed them to our to your animals. And just as you say, but why should you be allowed to do that? Right? If you already say that it's usher to snack on unprocessed figs not in the drying area, then why should you be allowed to take the carobs down and feed it to the animal, which is not the same place? Carobs are different, because carobs really are animal food. Right? Only once they're dry do people eat them. So if you're feeding them carobs, everyone will understand that these aren't dried yet. And because the normal way that human beings eat it is dried, everyone will look at it and say, aha, he's not finished processing it. That's not true of other things. Now, according to this, even though it's mutter to feed the carobs to the animals, you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Right? That's what would emerge from this. Now, some disagree with this, right? Because the Gemara later on says that one can only feed the carobs to animals, but it doesn't say the person can eat them because eating in public is undignified. But that implies that Mekar Adin, it's not a problem. It's a problem of eating in public, right? Which we talked about earlier in the Masechet. Therefore, the Gra says even Rebbe would agree that the person can eat it. So what does it mean, Charuv and Meichel Behemain? It said since they are planted as animal food, their whole chiyuv is only their rabbanon. They're more makel to begin with, and that's why we have unique kulot for carobs. Now, obviously, this is also following Rambam, who thinks that other fruit are d'oraita and only charuvin are d'rabbanon. Right? If you follow the Rishonim, most Rishonim, that all fruit are only d'rabbanon except for, right, dagon tirs v'yitzar, so then charuvin shouldn't be more makel than other things. Though the Gra is a different interpretation on Yoredeah. The Gra is a third interpretation, which is based on the notion that maybe no, bringing it litzorach behema into a chatzar is not mechayev, and that's what's going on here, and that's why you can eat it arayr. And this is developed by the Derech Emunah in Gimel Yuchet. Okay. So then, Aldaiti derav ma beino vavin bonav. So now, again, what's the difference between you and your children? So, who al yidei shutolim mukta aser? Since he intends to dry it, whether or not you dry it for you is dependent on you. And therefore, as we saw, one is that you might change your mind. Tosfot's position is that this is an act of changing your mind, right? The Gra, as we saw, is that you might reconsider later, right? But they can't, right? They don't get to make up their mind. Now the Mara Fulda here, as we said, has a different explanation. I said we'd get back to it, so now we're getting back to it. He says that a courtyard, right, a chatzer, is only make something tefel for the owner, but not anybody else. Other people can snack. And the chiddush that we extend that kula even to your family. Now, what does tolui b'muktza mean? Is that the owner is tolui b'muktza. He can only eat them if they're going to be dried and not raw. So Rav holds in our circuit, he can't eat them out to the drying area because people will think that he doesn't intend to dry them. Right? But the kids ain't tolui b'muktza. They're not depending on the drying area. They can eat it when it's not going to be dried. Because again, the chiyuv is only on him. So nicha banav. So the Gemara says, fine. His kids, fine. Ubnei beito and his wife, the ain la lav mizono, right? Sorry, but what about his wife, right? Isn't he chayev to give her food? So shouldn't she be more like a worker, right? Because he owes her monetarily, right, from the ketubah to pay her food. So the kids is different, right? So he says, come on, rain mizono leishu dvar Torah. It must be that this is according to the shita, that the monetary obligation to provide your wife with food is not biblical, right? So this is a machloket in Ketubot, in the Bavli, in Memzai and Memched, in the Yerushalmi, in Ketubot, in the 7th Perek and the 13th Perek, whether the obligation of food is d'oraita or not, right? That comes to whether sherksu and nona, all are different derivatives of obligations around physical intimacy, which is like what the Ramban says in the Torah, or it means food and clothing and intimacy. And there's other things to go into that, but fine. And therefore, if you think it's only derabbanan, so they put an exception in it, that he's not chayev to give miser for that which he's providing for his wife. Now, the interesting thing is that the implication here is that if he's chayev midaraita, we call it a kinyan. But isn't that the exact opposite of what we said by the workers? Right? So the Ridbaz says, well, it depends. Some things that are daraita are considered sales, and some are considered gifts. And in this case, we must be holding that it's, right, and mizonot isha is a type of a sale, right? Whereas by what he gives to the workers, he didn't, right? That this is considered pre'at chov. This is considered a debt created by the Torah, and there's just. And we'll see. The Gemara is going to play this out in other cases where whether or not something is a kinyan matters. But we'll see more in the continuation of the Gemara. But let's leave that for now.